The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Injuries sustained from job-related and auto accidents, as well as slip and falls, can last for your entire life. Being paid for your pain and suffering is not only deserved, but is necessary. And most importantly, it is your right. Let the law firm of Raza Russo Shahabian expertly, empathetically, and aggressively fight for what you deserve. My name is Tom Russo, partner at Raza Russo Shahabian. With over 40 years of combined experience, my partners and I have relentlessly and successfully fought for our clients' needs. Contact us at 516-376-0000. That's 516-376-0000. Do not be discouraged by your pain, and do not be discouraged by your experience with other personal injury attorneys. We are different. We are accessible to you 24 hours a day. We will keep you updated as to our progress and always fight for what you deserve. Again, our firm is Rosner Russo Shahabian, and our number is 516-376-0000. That's 516-376-0000. Stop hoping for a great settlement. Together, let us fight for one. Everybody, and welcome to Accidentally Yours. I'm your host, Tom Russo, here with you every Thursday at 3 p.m. right here on 103.9 LI News Radio. It's my honor and pleasure to spend some time with you today. What do we do here on Accidentally Yours? Well, it's our mission. It's our goal. It's our stated purpose. We want to educate you. We want to inform you. We want to empower you. Are you an accident victim? Do you have a friend, a family member, a loved one who's been the victim of any type of accident? They've been injured. Their whole life has been turned upside down. You have to have the right lawyer fighting for you. And you don't want a lawyer that does this as a hobby. It's very difficult to litigate these cases and fight these insurance companies. You need a lawyer that limits their practice to accident cases. They don't do real estate on the side. They don't do criminal defense on the side. What they do is plaintiff's personal injury. And that's what me and my partners and lawyers at Raza Russo Shahabian have been doing for over 20 years of practice. If you need to speak to a lawyer, you've been injured in any type of accident, give us a call at 516-376-0000. That's 516-376-0000. Or check us out on the web at rrslawyers.com. Thank you again to our many fans and clients out there who've gone on to Google and they've written positive reviews. We always love the feedback. And when you're thinking about a lawyer, in this day and age, you can do that. You can go and do a search. We strongly suggest that you vet out any attorney that you either have or are thinking about hiring because you're going to be with them a long time. And there has to be a relationship of trust. And it starts with getting to know the lawyer and making sure that they'll communicate with you when you need to communicate with them, that they're accessible. And every one of my attorneys, if you look on our business cards, our cell phones are right there for you. We make sure all our clients are happy and satisfied. Well, today's topic, every week we pick a topic and we've discussed construction accidents. We've talked about firefighter injuries, slip and falls, dog bite cases, different premises cases. And today I thought it would be appropriate to speak about playground accidents and recreational equipment injuries. Unfortunately, there seems to be a trend lately, and I brought some statistics too to show it, but there seem to be more and more of these accidents lately, and there's reasons for that. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has reported, and you can check out their website, each year in America, the emergency departments treat over 200,000 children ages 14 years or younger for playground injuries. That's a lot of injuries. And out of those, about 58% of them are serious, either fractures or need surgery. More than 20,000 of those children suffered what's called a TBI, which is a traumatic brain injury. The TBI rates are also increasing every year. Between 2001 and 2008, the Consumer Product Safety Commission investigated 40 deaths that were associated with playground equipment. And The average age was 6 years old for the children that are getting hurt on this equipment. And the main causes, falls, of course, and strangulation, believe it or not. Absolutely horrible. So what's happening here? I remember back when I was preparing for the show and I thought about my days at Arthur Prem back in Oakdale. And I remember you go out to the playground. We were all excited. The kids all run out there. And what did you do? You went and played on the monkey bars. And what was below the monkey bars? Asphalt. Asphalt. If you were lucky, it was asphalt, maybe some broken up concrete. And we had the swings with the chains and barely any supervision. And I don't really remember too many kids getting hurt. But it certainly was a bad idea back then to design the playgrounds this way. I mean, at least put some padding down. Well, for whatever reason, things changed. And as the equipment got more and more sophisticated, we started seeing a lot more injuries. And maybe it was just kids are just not as taught as well these days. But you would think you bring a child to a playground or your child goes to school that they would be at least supervised well, or that the playground equipment would be safe. Not always so. In fact, there's always recalls on these products, and there is a difference between the manufacturers. There are American companies that manufacture very good and safe playground equipment. There are actual standards that must be met, and there are certain engineering societies that set those standards, and the American companies follow those standards. There's plenty of foreign companies out there. You can guess on which countries or country that might be the main culprit on this, but they send their products over. There's no safety standards whatsoever. They use materials that are absolute garbage that wind up either rusting or coming apart after a few years after the installation, and then good luck finding them to try and actually hold them accountable. So there is a difference, and unfortunately, we see this more and more, that children are playing on equipment that is just not that good. And that might be one of the reasons why there's more accidents and injuries and deaths these days, is you didn't have that equipment being manufactured from foreign countries. Everything was American-made, and it was built to last. And nowadays, you see what it is. A lot of it is plastic, it's garbage, it's stuff that rusts or corrodes. And sometimes you just have no idea what these materials are. It's absolutely insane. So unfortunately, this is something that we have to look out for. And there's no escaping it. Even in the municipal playgrounds, when you go to these parks in the towns or wherever you go, you can take a look at some of this equipment, and you'll see a lot of it just looks flimsy. Right? And a lot of it looks like it's just not built to last. A lot of this stuff just isn't meant to last, and it's not properly maintained. So unfortunately, if you're one of those unfortunate parents out there who has had a child who's been injured in any type of playground or recreational equipment injury, we want you to call us, 516-376-0000. Ask for Tom Russo. Let's see if there's something that we can do about it. A lot of times we only have about 90 days to make the claim, so there are time restraints on this. My guest today is a professional engineer. He's going to be joining us in the next segment. Has all the credentials, all the background. He deals with a lot of this, the playground equipment, and gym equipment is another one. So you have fitness equipment in a lot of these gymnasiums. With the economy, with everything that's going on, a lot of times these gyms or these facilities have to cut corners somewhere. So what do? They cut it on maintenance, or they buy inferior equipment. And a lot of the replacement parts, the manufacturer, it might be a good manufacturer, originally the product was very good, but the replacement parts unfortunately may come from areas that they're improper, they don't work, and they can really cause significant injuries. And you just don't know it until unfortunately something happens, and then hopefully you have a good lawyer who knows how to hire the right person to go and investigate the causes of that accident and keep them accountable. You're listening to Accidentally Yours. I'm your host, Tom Russo. It's my pleasure to be here. If you know anyone who's been involved in any type of recreational accident, either on a playground or in any kind of gym equipment, we want you to give us a call at 516-376-0000. That's 516-376-0000. After the break, Joel Schachter, professional engineer, safety expert, is going to talk to us all about playground and recreational equipment safety. Back after these messages. Welcome back, everybody, to Accidentally Yours. I'm your host, Tom Russo, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio. If you have a child, if you know someone who has a child that was injured in any type of playground accident, or anyone that's been injured as a result of using defective or dangerous equipment at a gymnasium, we want you to give us a call at my law firm, Rosen Russo Shahabian, 516-376-0000. Check us out on the web, rrslawyers.com. Well, I have a very special guest today, and I'm honored to have him here, Mr. Joel Schachter. Joel, how are you?
Hi, fine. How are you, Tom?
Very good. Now, I want to thank you for coming on the program. Joel, we've talked many times before. You have such an impressive background. Why don't you tell our listeners all about your background and credentials?
Okay, Tom. By the way, good afternoon. I graduated with a degree in mechanical engineering and immediately went to work on Long Island for a company called Grumman Aerospace. I designed the lunar rover that drove on the moon, the wheels. I designed portions of the lunar excursion module. For 12 years, I was chief mechanical group leader on the F-14 Tomcat. And worked on the classified satellites that I still can't talk about. 1994, Northrop bought Grumman out, and I decided to retire. My retirement lasted about 2 days. And then I went into starting my own business called Precise Home Inspections, and still the owner of that company. But as of late, have gone into forensic engineering as my main occupation.
Fantastic. And Joel, it's just a different time. Anyone from Long Island knows all about Grumman, right around the corner from my house, and quite a community. A different time, a different age when Long Island was a defense community, right?
Exactly.
So, Joel, let's get right into it. Our topic today is playground safety, recreational equipment safety. Just give us an idea for what you do. What have you seen over the years with the different types of cases and the different types of injuries you've seen and the trends you might have seen with playground equipment and recreation equipment?
Well, Tom, you know, it's interesting that most of us think of a playground as a safe, confined area where we could enjoy our children playing. But in recent years, it's estimated that over 200,000 injuries annually take place on public property playgrounds. Now, this one compared to COVID is not a significant number, but to a parent, injury on a playground can be devastating.
It is when your child, that's for sure, right?
Right.
Then it's certainly significant.
Right. And when it comes to a playground, you have numerous people involved in it. You have child care personnel, school officials, park recreational personnel, equipment purchasers, installers, playground designers, equipment manufacturers, architects, designers. All of these play a role in playground safety. There are many documents and standards. The American Society of Testing Materials has a voluminous amount of information on playground design, and that's available if anyone wants to go online. The safety of each individual piece of playground equipment, as well as a layout of the entire playground, plays an important part of playground safety. A playground is designed so that it allows children to develop gradually. And as they develop, their skills improve, their interpersonal contacts improve. But you have to choose what children will be using a playground. Now, right now, playground usage is divided basically into three age categories. It's toddlers, who range in 6 months to 2 years, preschoolers, who are approximately 3 years to 6 years, and then there's school-age children up to 12 years old. Playgrounds are designed for those three categories. Once children are older than that, if they're playing in a playground, you have to be very careful what they're doing and how they're interacting with younger children. The ADA, which is the Americans with Disability Act, now requires, among other things, that newly constructed or altered state facilities and local government playgrounds places accommodations for accessibility and usability for individuals with disabilities. Now, playground injuries, probably the major part of playground injuries is falls. Falls from heights, followed by equipment-related hazards, such as tip-overs, scratches, fingers trapped. But the majority of incidents occur when a child falls from a height and lands on the ground below.
Yeah, I'd like to play off that 1 second, Joel, and we'll start with this particular type of injury and this type of situation, because I see it a lot. I see falls a lot. And what we're looking at here is, at least in the cases that I've had every kind of case with children falling, and a lot of times what it has to do with is the matting or the bedding or whatever they're supposed to put there. Have you seen that a lot?
Yes, exactly. First of all, any surface below any equipment in a playground should be cushioned. And there's numerous ways of cushioning it. Usually you'll see bolts, wood bolts. You may see rubber batting. You may see ground-up rubber tires. You may see shock-absorbing mats. Any one of that is acceptable. However, they do need maintenance. You can't expect to lay down a layer of mulch and expect that it would stay there. It'll be dispersed. Weather will disperse it. Sliding off of a slide will disperse it. So besides putting down a shock absorber layer, you should also make sure that it's maintained properly. Now, as putting down layers, if it's mulch from a wood product, make sure that there's no arsenic or insect treatment in that mulch, because that'll eventually outgas and it's dangerous for children. Slide, particularly slides. As you slide off these slides, you push some of the mulch away. It's going to disperse. What you should do is use like a rubber mat at the end of the slide. Heights are critical. If the drop height, if the fall height is above 6 feet, you need at least 9 inches thick of mulch to attenuate that shock when you fall. How do I suggest that you monitor this? Is after you lay down the 9 inches of mulch or the cushion barrier, mark all of the equipment in the playground with a red line at that level of mulch. Now, it's easy to see when you come back and look at that level. If the mulch is displaced, you may have to add more mulch, or you may have to rake it back again.
Yeah, it's just so important, Joel. We've seen it. Anyone that's on Long Island, you bring your child over to the parks or playground, a lot of times they just don't maintain it. You're listening to Joel Schachter here on Accidentally Yours. I'm your host, Tom Russo. Today's topic is playground equipment failures and safety. Those who have been injured. usually children, on playgrounds, just terrible, or in gym equipment, recreational equipment. If you know anybody, you yourself, or you have a child or a loved one who's been injured as a result of any type of playground or gym equipment injury, we want you to give us a call, 516-376-0000. That's 516-376-0000. Is it the right equipment? Did they actually purchase it here in America or some foreign country? How about replacement parts? What replacement parts did they use? Did they maintain it properly? Is it rusting? Is it rotted out? Are they using the wrong kinds of mulch or the surfacing? You need an expert, and we have one, Joel Schachter. We're going to talk with him more right after these messages. Injuries sustained from job-related and auto accidents, as well as slip and falls, can last for your entire life. Being paid for your pain and suffering is not only deserved, but is necessary. And most importantly, it is your right. Let the law firm of Raza Russo Shahabian expertly, empathetically, and aggressively fight for what you deserve. My name is Tom Russo, partner at Raza Russo Shahabian. With over 40 years of combined experience, my partners and I have relentlessly and successfully fought for our clients' needs. Contact us at 516-376-0000. That's 516-376-0000. Do not be discouraged by your pain, and do not be discouraged by your experience with other personal injury attorneys. We are different. We are accessible to you 24 hours a day. We will keep you updated as to our progress and always fight for what you deserve. Again, our firm is Rosner Russo Shahabian, and our number is 516-376-0000. That's 516-376-0000. Stop hoping for a great settlement. Together, let us fight for one. Back. Welcome back, everybody, to Accidentally Yours. I'm your host, Tom Russo, right here on 103.9 LI News Radio. If you like the program, let's hear from you. Give me a call at 516-376-0000 or email me at trusso@rrslawyers.com. And if you've been involved in any type of accident, a loved one, a friend, just give us a call. Let's see if you have a case. Let's see if there's something we can do about it. And if you know anybody who's been involved in any type of playground or recreational equipment, well, you tuned in on the right day because we have Joel Schachter back with us. Joel, how are you?
Okay, Tom. Glad to be back.
So, Joel, we discussed a little bit about the statistics with these playground accidents and some of the concerns that we have with this equipment. So what are some of the playground hazards that you've seen over the years?
Well, Tom, children cannot be expected to look for playground hazards. They're not intelligent in that area. They get onto a playground, and the first thing they'll do is to run to an attraction that they see most likely to have fun on. Now, there are some hazards that are inherent in playground equipment. For instance, seesaws. Seesaws at the fulcrum or the pivot point give a crushing or a shearing point where if you catch your fingers, you could have seriously injured when the seesaw is being used. Another thing is if the equipment is not maintained properly, there could be bolts or screws coming out of the equipment that you could snag, say, a hood or a sweatshirt lanyard on it, and that becomes a strangulation hazard. Any S-hooks or clamps that hold equipment on, such as the swings, should never have an opening in them that could also snag a child's clothing or a sweatshirt or jacket, and it become a strangulation issue. Mittens, jewelry, jackets, anything like that, loose drawstrings, are a danger when using playground equipment.
Joel, let me jump in there 1 second. So now the big picture here is you nailed it. You said it exactly the point. Children should not be expected to look for these hazards. But there are companies, multi-million dollar companies and engineers and testing. They're the ones that are supposed to anticipate all these things. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. Designers of playground equipment have to go through a very rigorous design phase. It has to meet ASTM standards as to materials, paint even. You cannot just put any coat of paint. It has to be non-lead-based paint. All of the structure has to be tested for fatigue and for strength. And even after that, it should be tried out by individuals that that equipment is used for. If it's a toddler swing, it should be a toddler trying it out. If it's a school-age child, they should have a group of school-age children trying it out. An example is a suspended hazard, a rope. A lot of playground equipment just has a single rope dangling down for climbing on. And this is extremely dangerous. Any rope or string in a playground should be attached at both ends to prevent any strangulation. Used tires. A lot of used tires are now being employed as cushioning surfaces or shock-absorbing surfaces. Used tires contain radial tires, contain wires, steel wires, and that could be a snag. Trip hazards. If some of the equipment is staked down, it becomes a trip hazard. If the stakes are exposed above the surface of the ground, and children could trip over it. Placement of equipment is important. You don't want to have a slide exit right in front of a swing set. You don't want a child sliding down, and as the swing goes by, hits him and could hurt him.
Yeah. No parent wants to get that phone call, Joe, where, listen, it's hard enough. Life is hard enough. You think you're sending your kids off to school or to one of these day camps, and you expect them to be safe. No parent wants that phone call. And it's, I'm sorry, Mrs. Johnson, but your son Timmy was hurt today on the playground. And then you find out that the equipment is so old and rusted and not maintained, and you spent all this money, as did everybody else, to have the child go to one of these camps or go to one of these playgrounds or play areas. And I'm seeing it more and more. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just a matter of either the insurance companies or people not taking responsibility. But it's very frustrating because I've seen it a lot where it's, why didn't you just get rid of this equipment? Or why didn't you just get the right replacement parts? Why didn't you just maintain it? These are children that we're dealing with. Have you seen that?
Exactly. First of all, a lot of the equipment is old. A lot of the equipment has been exposed to all sorts of weather. Like I say, the surfaces that are under these equipment have been displaced over the years. And if it's not maintained properly and you don't have maintenance personnel who constantly check it and review it, then you're looking for problems. There should be checklists, maintenance checklists. There should be routine inspections. There should be testing of all this equipment on a playground. And that would eliminate a lot of the, at least eliminate the hazards.
Yeah, and what I've seen too, Joel, in fact, you and I are working on a case together. We won't go into too many particulars because it is in litigation. But a lot of times there are replacement parts and there are replacement parts. And a lot of these manufacturers, American manufacturers, they will specifically state only use our replacement parts. But people like to cut corners. And if you hire a maintenance company, they can get defective parts much, much cheaper a lot of time from overseas, right?
Exactly. Or say it's a school or a municipal playground that has a crew working on it. They're not going to replace the part with an exact duplicate of the manufacturer's part. If they have a nut and a bolt in their shop that fits in that hole, they're going to use that. If it sticks out too far, they don't pay attention to it, and that becomes a hazard in a playground. There's two investigations that I've done that have brought up some of these points. And if you have time now, Tom, I'd like to talk to about both of them.
We got 1 minute, 30 seconds each. Give it a go.
Okay. One is a slide. The slide was shaped like a banana, and it was in a public park in Babin park in a new city, and basically the ladder climbed up to the top of the slide. There was no porch on the slide where a child could sit down. There was no hand railing at the top of the ladder where you could hold on to until you got positioned. And some poor parent put a toddler on the slide who immediately fell over. The proper way to use a slide was from school-age children who could wrap their legs around it. And by the way, there was a sign on the playground that said school-age children only 12 and above. But guess what? The sign was put off into a corner of the park where the father could not see it. And the father was there. He put his child on the slide. And unfortunately, there's no way to slide down.
Absolutely. Joel, unfortunately, you're just a wealth of knowledge. I wish I could have you on for hours just going over everything that you've seen. But for our listeners, very important, I want them to know how to get in touch with Joel Schachter, professional engineer. If they want you, Joel, how do they get in touch with you?
Yes, they could call me at 917-279-6725. That's a direct line to my office, and I'm available 24/7. And the name of my company is Precise Forensics, and my name again is Joel Schachter.
Joel, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much for coming on. And I just can't recommend you more highly, just utterly professional. And you know your stuff. And I'm so glad you're on our team, Joel. Thanks you again for coming on the show. And everybody, we'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back, everybody, to Accidentally Yours. I'm your host, Tom Russo, here every Thursday at 3 p.m. on 103.9 LI News Radio. Today's topic, playground injuries, recreational equipment injuries. A lot of accidents these days. And to speak with us on our last segment, my executive producer, David Levenstein. Welcome, David.
So I'm listening to the conversation that you're having with Joel.
Yeah.
Fascinating guy. Great history.
Oh, unbelievable.
And I'm thinking about a lot of things. I'm thinking about me growing up. I went to grew up in Woodmere number 6 school, that big dome jungle gym you and I were talking about
right
before we went on.
Yeah.
And again, on concrete, swings with
great
chains.
Great idea, right?
On concrete, old monkey bars. I think they're probably still there. what was that ride? The flying saucer, remember? You spin it around. Even the tetherball chain was dangerous.
Tetherball, death ball.
Right, yeah, all these things are dangerous. And then I was thinking about all the carnivals that come around over the summer.
Yeah, that's safe.
And they go from one town, you see up and down Sunrise Highway.
Right.
They start like at Baldwin, then they go to Merrick, then they go to Belmore, then they go up Sunrise, you know, to Massapequa and Seaford.
Wantagh?
No, there's one in Wantagh. Sorry about that. Right. But there's one in Wantagh. And you know where they are. They're in the parking lot on the Sunrise Highway. You see them, and they're being taken down and set up, and taken down and set up. And these rides are complicated machines.
Correct.
They're mini roller coasters, and the zipper machine, and the hammer that goes upside down, and the one where the floor drops and the gravity.
Oh yeah.
I didn't go on them as kids. I will let my kids go on them now.
Right.
They scare me.
It's amazing.
And you always hear about accidents on these.
You do, and you would like to think that the good folks that are running these carnivals, and it's like any walk of life. There's good and there's bad, and just remember they're in business, right? They're not there to entertain your kids. Yeah. They're there to make a profit.
But
at least the boss.
But they don't want to hurt anybody. But the machines
they don't want to.
But the machines do get weathered, and they do
correct
get old. And by putting together and taking apart and putting together and taking apart, things are going to happen.
Correct.
You know,
correct.
They happen at regular amusement parks, you know, yeah, that are, you know, that happen at Six Flags. It happens at regular places.
Bouncy houses. These bouncy things, these inflatable things.
Right.
Believe it or not, that's one of the main cases. I can tell you
but
that.
But who's responsible for the injuries that take place in those things?
Who's responsible for those? It could be a number of things. A lot of times it's a company that rents these things. Right. It could be the manufacturer. So when we have these cases, what we look at is, first of all, this particular bouncy house or ride, was it a bad design? Now, those are tough cases. Right. A lot of times there's a lot of testing. So it's not the design itself. It's not a manufacturing defect.
Are there more kids in there than that should be in there?
That's one thing. The recommendation, there's usually a recommendation. It's usually a supervision case.
Height and weight.
And a lot more often than not, it's a maintenance case. Okay. Because what happens is the product is good. When it's first purchased, it's good. The manufacturer has went through a lot of trouble to make sure it's good. They've done all their testing. Mm-hmm. They specifically give you the warning signs. They give you the stickers. They tell you use only our replacement parts. But then it gets purchased. And then what happens? It gets sold and sold again. And it doesn't get maintained. And that's where
torn,
the issues come.
It gets patched.
Exactly.
The air isn't as filled up, as tight.
Exactly.
You know, in there as it should
parts
be.
Parts go missing, all kinds of things. Yeah. Right. So we see it a lot.
Right. So how do parents then protect their children? We want them to have fun.
That's correct.
We want them to go out. We want them to climb that thing. You know, we know how we are as parents, and we know how we are as kids. My parents couldn't keep me down from anything.
You got to be mindful. It's unfortunate, but you got to be a good parent. Right. Don't be a cell phone parent where you're just over at the playground and the kid goes do and does whatever. I think that's one of the big reasons, too. There's a lot of playground injuries now. Is, you know, I remember helicopter moms when they actually watch their children and supervise their children.
Yeah.
Now, good luck. They're all sitting on, they don't even look at the equipment, and the kids are running around. They're not supervising their kids.
On the benches around there looking at their cell phones.
That's absolutely
not even talking to each other anymore.
Yeah.
They're engrossed in their cell phones, engrossed in the conversations. Next thing you know what, your child fell.
So that's a big problem. And the other problem is a lot of the equipment is just so old. I mean, I can name a particular park that I grew up right next to. The equipment's been there since the 70s.
It's the same equipment.
Yeah, it's still there. Right over in Oakdale. I'm not going to disparage this fine park that's right near there, but anyone who lives near there knows exactly what I'm talking about.
I remember I got hurt very badly at there was a little amusement park on Sunrise Highway in Baldwin called Nunley's.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember this Nunley's?
We never ventured out of Suffolk County back in my day.
Okay. Nunley's was a great little amusement park. And they had this hand cranking, it looked like a train tracks, and you sat down and you cranked it.
Oh, yeah.
And you went around this whole
thing. It's still there. Yeah.
No, Nunley's is closed now.
Oh.
Nunley's is closed. But it was a famous, if anybody Googled Nunley's, they'll know exactly what I'm speaking about. And if you went too fast on the turns, you fell over.
That's part of the fun, right?
And I fell over constantly, and I would get bruised and scraped and
blood.
One time I sprained my wrist, and instead of saying to the people, hey, you made a ride that kids are falling over, I got in trouble.
Right.
My father said, oh, yeah, you know, called me a schmuck, and you know not to go too fast.
Right.
No one ever would think of saying, hey, these kids have an inclination to go fast and climb high. You have to. You know,
kids are
going to
be kids. Kids are going to be kids. And they're there to play.
The parents all the time.
It's not on the parents.
Or the nature of children.
What I've seen over the years is every parent that goes to a playground should have the right to believe that the equipment is reasonably safe, that it was manufactured correctly, that it was installed correctly, that it's been maintained correctly.
Right.
So that's why, and I picked a little bit on Helicopter Mom.
But that's a reasonable assumption.
Right. But when you go in there and now the child is using this equipment, you might be assuming too much. And that's where the issues start.
Maybe. So what as a parent do we go over and shake the equipment to make sure it's safe for our child?
It's common sense. You see an old piece of equipment, keep your kid away from it.
Yeah,
that's all.
It could be rusted.
And how about you complain? You see something, it's no big deal. Whoever the town or municipality is, whoever owns the equipment, a quick email or a phone call, you might be saving other kids from really, really bad injuries. I've had death cases with playground equipment.
Really?
I've had children, forget broken arms, surgery, all kinds of horrific injuries from some of this equipment.
Right.
There really are some dangers out there.
I remember, your guest Joel was talking about those big metal slides.
Yeah, sure.
And I remember when I was as a youngster, I always looked for the tallest and the highest slides.
Of course.
And they were gigantic, and they had no side safety. They had nothing on there. And I would just jam up those things, stand on the top of it. Yay!
You're being a kid.
And we'd be a kid. And I didn't realize what he said. They were designed to have your legs on the outside.
Ah.
I didn't know that. Did you know that?
I had no idea. Seems like a bad idea.
It seems like a really bad idea, but they're probably safer to have the kids' legs on the outside. But I just shot right down.
Somehow we survived the 70s and 80s, right?
We did survive, but not uninjured. I mean, I know people that broke their legs, broke their nose, broke everything, fell on their face.
Yeah.
I mean, I have fallen many times. I got lots of little scars and bruises. And I think about, was it my fault or was the equipment just kind of really not catered to what I needed to do as a child?
Well, I agree with Joel that children should not be expected to look around for the dangers. Right. And I think parents do have the right to reasonably assume that the equipment will be maintained correctly. So I think a lot of it has to do with, it's almost always, it's a common theme if you've noticed that people cut corners and it's got to be cut somewhere. And usually it's maintenance.
Right. That's maintenance.
Yep.
And but now they have less excuses now because there's some parks that have those rubbery cushiony floors.
Yep.
And they're probably very expensive to put down.
How about some sand? I should have asked him that. But why don't we just use sand? I remember those days where you fall in some sand. That seems pretty reasonable, right?
A lot easier than concrete.
And it's a lot less expensive than that trip to the hospital and possibly surgery for your kids. David, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you all for listening to us. Accidentally Yours right here on 103.9 LI News Radio. Hopefully you never get that phone call. But if you get that phone call or you know somebody who has a child who's been injured in any type of playground accident or any type of equipment, recreational equipment, gym equipment, we need you to give us a call. There's a reason why we want you to call right away at 516-376-0000. Ask for me, Tom Russo. I'll be happy to speak with you about the claim. We have to get out there. We got to take photographs. We got to find out witnesses before that equipment gets changed or the evidence is destroyed. Remember, folks, we'll see you next time, and success is no accident.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.